A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 35. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Spaced. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England.
Tim and Daisy are two impoverished 20-somethings who share a flat in London and pretend to be a couple while having a whole series of misadventures and all kinds of things happening with their friends and housemates at 23 Meteor Street, London.
And that's the setup of this show, Spaced, which was a Channel 4 sitcom that first came out in 1999 with 7 episodes in the first series, and then it got another series in 2001 with another 7 episodes.
Now, this is a little bit different than our usual fare on British Invaders because it is not, strictly speaking, sci-fi or fantasy or in the genre, but it does have a great many science fiction references and pop culture references, and it has a surreal sort of style which brings it into its own space and has made it a bit of a cult classic and a bit of a sci-fi geek classic, even though it isn't directly sci-fi itself.
No, that's right. It's not strictly genre, but it is a cult. And as you say, it's packed full of homage to science fiction and all aspects of geek and pop culture. And they do that either by name-checking various films and TV shows or by quoting lines from them or shooting scenes in a style taken from certain movies and TV shows. And they also keep sort of parodying various Hollywood cliches throughout the whole show. So there's lots of stuff going on which sort of brings it into the remit of British Invaders, or we think so now, which is why we're talking about it. And it also, it's very well known for launching the careers of several people who've gone on to be quite famous. Simon Pegg, who wrote it with Jessica Stevenson, who's now Jessica Hines, having been married since, and also Nick Frost and the director Edgar Wright. So all these people sort of got their big break with Spaced and, of course, gone on to much more well-known things since.
That's right. It was a really neat show because they took the sort of straightforward lives of these people and portrayed them in a way that sort of parodied and almost pastiched these Hollywood cliches and was constantly making references in simple ways and complex and intricate ways to a lot of sci-fi and action movies and comic books and all sorts of things. So it really gave you something that was quite different.
We've got our characters who we meet straight away in the first scene of the first episode, who are played by the two writers. So Simon Pegg plays Tim Bisley, who is a 20-something aspiring comic book artist. He's a skateboarder, but he's just an all-round geek. He's interested in science fiction and films and all aspects of sort of genre stuff. And he meets Daisy Steiner, played by Jessica Stevenson, who wants to be a writer. She's convinced that she's an intellectual and that she's going to be a great writer or a great journalist. That's really, they sort of meet very early on and form this sort of friendship, which is going to come into part of the plot, which we'll talk about in a minute, which is going to bring them into contact with some of the other characters.
That's right. The two of them are sort of the center of the show, and they're characters that you can identify with very easily, which is part of what makes this work. There are all sorts of things that happen with them and to them, but they're characters that you can identify with them as they procrastinate and what have you. You also had the best friends of the characters, because you had Mike, played by Nick Frost, who was Tim's best friend and is obsessed with the military. Everything that he does, he wants to have a military aspect to it somehow. So he's always wearing sort of mock military fatigues and always going around talking in sort of military jargon, and he talks about guns a lot and brings a sort of off-centered, quirky aspect to things. You also had Twist, played by Katie Carmichael, and she was Daisy's best friend who was obsessed with fashion and makes backhanded compliments and is extremely shallow in a sort of caricatured way. She also brought a humorous twist to things based on that.
And then two other characters make up the sort of main six people that we'll be dealing with. And one of them is Brian, played by a comic actor called Mark Heap, who's since gone on to appear in shows like Green Wing. And he plays this character, Brian, who's this weird conceptual modern artist who lives in the basement of this house, 23 Meteor Street. And he's tormented and he's quite strange and his art is very peculiar. And there's a sort of running joke through the series where people ask him what he does. And he says he's a painter and they will ask him what sort of paintings he does, meaning does he do watercolours or oils or something like that. And he gives them this answer about using that his paintings are about anger, pain, fear and aggression. With a little sequence that goes with that. So he's a quite a weird character down in the basement.
He's quite bizarre, isn't he?
Absolutely, yes.
Rounding things out is Marcia, played by Julia Deakin, who is the landlady in 23 Meteor Street. The best way of putting it is that she's a professional drinker. I think every time you see her, or very nearly every time you see her, she has a glass of red wine in one hand and a cigarette in the other. She is constantly talking about nothing, it seems, and talks and moves in a very peculiar way. And like all of these characters, brings something a little eccentric to the table, so we get a solid comic ensemble cast here.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, Marcia, you should say, she's quite a character in her own right. She's the sort of landlady who's always knocking on their flat door and inviting herself in for a drink. And as you say, her drinking just sort of is a regular feature throughout. There's even an episode where they have a bit of a row and she storms out, and then there's a rather comic moment where she sort of like comes back in to get her glass of wine and then storm out again. So the setup is, as we've sort of said, is that Tim and Daisy are flat hunting and they meet up by chance in a cafe while they're going through the newspaper ads looking for flats. And they sort of start a friendship. They get to know each other while they're going through the traumas of looking for somewhere to stay. And they see Marcia's ad for a flat, which seems to fit their bill and it seems to be in their budget. The ad specifies that it's for a professional couple only. So they agree to pretend to be a working couple. So they go to see the flat and meet Marcia. And we're introduced to 23 Meteor Street.
And it's a setup that's actually quite like a classic British farce or something like that. It's actually quite fun. And we go from there and introduce Mike and Twist and Brian. And everyone is hanging around and going in and out at the house where several of them live. And it's actually fairly conventional Britcom or British sitcom fare with a bit of farce thrown in, except you have these bizarre characters like Brian especially, but also Marcia, that really makes things a little more twisted than you would normally see in something like this. And it's also quite surreal at times with some of the art that shows up, not only Brian's, but in some episodes, other types of art that shows up. And the way it's shot uses some very quick edits and rapid camera pulls and things that give you this sort of out there, very different look to it, which was part of what made it this classic sort of geek fare that that appealed to the science fiction set very much.
And as you say, it is a sort of farce. I mean, because it does have that typical theme of people having to pretend to be something that they're not. So we've got this plot device of them having to pretend to be a couple, and that's going to run through the two series, despite the fact that they've got sort of romantic interests outside of their friendship. I guess a good description, particularly in North America, a good description would be that this is a slacker comedy, because they're young people who are not quite sure what they want to do with their lives yet. And as it says on the Wikipedia page, they're trying to sort of work their way through life. And at the same time, they've got romantic affairs going on. And they're just trying to find, and also trying to find ways of just sort of killing and wasting time. So it's that sort of comedy we're dealing with here.
There is a lot of procrastination involved, especially with Daisy. And some of it is quite amusing.
Absolutely. Peg and Stevenson did not necessarily write themselves as terribly likable characters, but still they come across as actually very likeable and charming, despite the fact that they do things that can annoy us from time to time. So we have sort of standalone stories in sort of classic Britcom or sitcom fashion. But as we said, there's these ongoing themes. There's the couple story, and there's some other storylines which will sort of spin out over the two series. I suppose they're either like, you know, to use genre terms, and sort of story arcs will come on. So in particular, we'll have Tim's attempts to get a job in the comic industry, whether it's trying to get his job back in a comic shop, which is where he works, or to try and get his ultimate goal of getting a job as a comic book artist with a rather fearsome comics company run by a strange individual who we'll meet in the second series who terrifies Tim.
We also have Daisy's writing matching up with Tim's comic work, or perhaps her lack of writing, because she's always sitting at a typewriter and hardly ever gets anything done. She's procrastinating all the time and is always interested in going out and doing other things and traveling and having adventures and what have you. But she does sometimes get some things done, and at a couple points in the series gets a couple of articles published and so on. So there is some work getting done, but there's a lot of procrastinating in addition to that. And it's played for humor. It works very well, and it works well with the character as well. There was also an ongoing storyline with Mike attempting to get back into the Territorial Army, which is like the National Guard or the Army Reserve. There's a story about why he couldn't join the actual army, and there is a story about why he was thrown out of the Territorial Army and how and why he's trying to get back in and how he progresses with that.
And it's all good stuff, and we keep coming back to it, and we keep getting little snippets of this story about what happened to Mike and Tim when they were kids, which led to, as you say, Mike not being able to join the regular army as he wanted to passionately.
Yes, there is actually a big reveal of that at the end of Series 1. Which was quite amusing.
Okay. Yep.
Now, when we get there, it's important while we're doing this, we don't use our real names. From now on, we'll be using code names, okay? Mike, you're Luke. Brian, you're Chewie. Daisy, you're Leia. Twist, you're Gabba. I'm Han.
Can't I be Han?
No! Sound off. Luke?
Oh.
Chewie? Leia?
Yes, Tim. Han.
Jabba.
It's Jabba the Princess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay. And let's go get Colin.
Now, on the production side, when all of this started, Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson were both doing stand-up comedy shows and sketch comedy work. They met on a sketch comedy show called Asylum and started to work together on that and found that they worked well as a writing team.
Yeah, Asylum was a sort of portmanteau show that was obviously set in the asylum of the title, but mainly, I think, gave the various comedians involved an opportunity to do their own little skits and sketches within this sort of group setting. Several of the episodes were directed by a young director called Edgar Wright, who had also mostly been working on short comedy films and TV shows up to that point. So this is really where Pegg and Wright and Stevenson first come together on this show, Asylum.
And Pegg and Stevenson started to write together and came up with the idea for a show inspired by Northern Exposure, along with some fantasy elements, and developed things from there.
Yes, it seems like an odd choice. It's the one that's always mentioned, is that they were inspired by Northern Exposure, which was reasonably popular over here in the UK. Simon Pegg certainly said it was the fact that in Northern Exposure, with this story of the doctor in Alaska, they would occasionally drift off into sort of fantasy elements within individual episodes. And it was those fantasy moments, as you say, that seemed to inspire them. And they sat down to write a comedy show together, which when they pitched it to London Weekend Television, who was going to be one of the production companies that would get involved, when they first pitched it in 1997, they actually described it as a cross between Northern Exposure, The Simpsons, and The X-Files. And certainly, I mean, it's an odd mix, but you can see elements of all of them coming through in Spaced.
Yeah, it is quite a mix. But they got something that was very original out of that. The series was produced by Neera Park, who stuck with the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Edgar Wright group into the movies that they went on to produce, which we'll talk about a little later.
LWT, London Weekend Television, gave it the green light in association with the comedy channel, the Paramount Comedy Channel, which was, I think, where Asylum was shown in the UK. And they produced the first series of 7 episodes, and it was actually shown on Channel 4 TV, as I've said, in 1999. And it went out on quite a late night Friday time slot. And I think probably partly the time slot had an effect on the audience, because it seemed to attract that audience of young people who were perhaps either getting getting ready to go out or coming back in from a night out on the town or whatever, and who were perhaps ready to pick up on some of the references and cultish aspects in the show.
It's unusual for that type of slot, you know, late on a Friday to work in a show's favor, but maybe actually it did in this case.
Yeah.
It quickly attracted the cult following of people who were spotting the pop culture references and really eagerly following what was happening with this show, and there was a real fandom that developed there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, now I think about 10 years later, we're used to television shows being dissected on the internet, you know, literally within minutes or hours of them being broadcast. But I think in 1999, it was, you know, it was quite unusual, and the success of Spaced and the sort of cult it inspired, and the chat rooms were full of discussions about each episode and people saying you should watch this, and, you know, did you pick up that reference and this reference? I'm not sure. There's a website called spacedout.org.uk, which I think has really all the main information and fan-based discussion about Spaced. I'm not quite sure when that first started, but certainly some of the people involved with it must have been following the series from a very early date. So it was one of the UK's very first internet hits.
That's right. That website was a fan-created, fan-based website. And there was also an official website, but Spaced Out was so good that they actually took down the official site and made Spaced Out their official site, even though it wasn't directly run by the companies or the people involved with making the show. And of course, they did go on to produce a second series, which was in 2001. So it was a couple years between those two series that were made.
But sadly, with no third series, although I think we could have coped with one very well. You know, it would be nice to have a third series, but I suspect that their rapidly taking off careers sort of got in the way, unfortunately. And although there's, you know, as we'll talk later, there's still much talk of the possibility of a third series or a special or a reunion. At the present date, still nothing has happened because the main producers have been busy elsewhere, I think.
Yes, Spaced is really based around that writing team and that cast and that director, and it wouldn't be the same series without that. So if they're going to continue, they really need all those people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we've said, Spaced sort of fits in with us here on British Invaders because it's so packed with science fiction references to TV and movies along the way. And that was really right from the very opening scenes of the first episode when we started to see these little references appearing. And in fact, on a previous episode of British Invaders, we've mentioned the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy graphics reference that appears very early in the first episode. But there was also the X-Files was in there very early on. We learned that Tim Bisley's sort of main fictional romantic interests are Dana Scully from the X-Files and Lara Croft from the Tomb Raider games. And I think at the end of the first episode, they have a scene shot in the style of Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the lights and the spaceship or something looking a bit like a spaceship. So there's loads of references right from the very start.
They also have a lot of Star Wars references, especially early on. The Star Wars references are thick and fast with different lines and different references to characters. And it comes back in a big way in the second series when they end an episode essentially with the ending scene from The Empire Strikes Back. And it was done in a way that worked remarkably well.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic ending to that episode. I mean, it's strangely moving in the same way at the end of Empire Strikes Back was, but it's also hilarious as well. And as you say, it works remarkably well, doesn't it?
Yes, as did the references to Fight Club, where they mixed Fight Club with a different thing as well, and I won't say what that was. But yeah, they have some quite remarkable references in there. There was a quite extensive one to The Matrix, where they did most of an episode based on things from The Matrix, and they had a couple of agents from The Matrix fitting into things, and it was very amusing.
It's very good. I mean, I love The Matrix episode, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but the Spaced Matrix episode is certainly probably better than either of the two Matrix sequels. It's certainly much more amusing anyway. There's loads of other references. I mean, it would take too long to list them all. As you said, there's lots of Star Wars. There's RoboCop. There's The Sixth Sense. There's also loads of British television non-genre stuff, pop culture references, so children's TV shows like Grange Hill, music clips from various other shows, and little sound effects that come in from time to time. I mean, again, going back to Star Wars, there's a moment when Daisy Steiner just opens a lipstick and pushes it up, and as the lipstick comes out of the tube, we get the little sound effect of a lightsaber. So it's all good stuff. And they just come thick and fast, all these references, don't they, Ryan?
Yes, I think every time someone is whistling or humming, it's a theme from a 1970s British TV show or something.
Yeah.
There are many, many references. It's not something that they do once or twice in an episode. It's something that they're doing constantly. Not all of them are sci-fi. As we've said, other pop culture things, they did the Spice Girls at one point, and many, many things, but a lot of sci-fi and sort of genre and action films and things come in there for sure.
Yes, I mean, you've mentioned Fight Club, and there's Pulp Fiction, Scarface. Again, you know, the references just go on and on and on. So that will probably do for our first episode of discussion about Spaced. We're going to carry on our discussion next time, talk a bit more about the stories, and particularly about, I think, the second series. But we'll also talk about what happened to the careers of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, Jessica Stevenson, Edgar Wright afterwards, and a little bit about the possibilities of whether there would be a remake or a sequel or a reunion special. So that's stuff to come in the next episode of British Invaders.
Yes, we have some good stuff to talk about, so check that out. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. You can also search for us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group with plenty of discussions about space and other things that we've covered, so you can take a look at what we have there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
And this is thank you and goodbye from Eamon in England.